of John. The true vine. I skipped it last week and took the last part of chapter 14 and chapter 16 about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And so we'll pick up at chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Right. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day and this opportunity to preach your word and teach your word, learn your word, and know more about you. Give us of your Holy Spirit. Draw us close to you, fill us with the word of God, and help us to learn what lessons we need to have today. And if there is one soul in the sound of my voice that is not saved, I ask you, Lord, that you would draw them to you, save their souls, and change their life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how many gardeners or farmers that's listening to my voice today. I think if I was a farmer, I'd have starved to death, and my family would have too. I think my dad was a good farmer, and he loved it. He said it was the freest life that you could live, was the individual farmer. But you end up having to pay your bills after the Depression, and so you have to come in and work at Kelly Field. And he quit working there for a couple of years. And then he went back, and I said, why'd you go back, Dad? He said, because of the benefits. A lot of jobs, if you miss, you just miss. You don't have any days for sickness or vacation or whatever. And he was a man that really liked to work. He really did. He was a very good mechanic. And he didn't come home and watch television. Come home and ate supper and went out in the garage and worked on something. And for him, all work was honorable. Well, I am not a farmer, and I am not, my gardens were not the most beautiful. They were watered gardens, most of them, but not the most beautiful. But, he comes here at chapter 15 and he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. My Father is the one that takes care of the flock. All of the branches and vines. Now there are two kinds of branches. Some that bear fruit and some that don't bear fruit. That's the two kind of branches you have. Are you a fruit bearing branch, or are you one of those that's not bearing very much fruit? Well, he's talking about fruit, and he's talking about something that is important to God. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you can take with these trees that they are sometimes grafted, and many times are grafted. You can get one pecan tree that has three or four different kinds of pecans coming off of it. And it's very interesting, and I didn't get much into it. But there's something here. It says, in verse 2, he says, beareth fruit. And then it says, more fruit. Fruit, more fruit. And then down in verse 3, much fruit. What is he talking about? He's talking about God's influence in your life. He's talking about how much you give of your life to the Lord and bear fruit. And so, of course, we would think the fruit of a grapevine would be grapes. And the fruit of another vine would be whatever their fruit was. Now, thinking about that, how much fruit do you bear? Do you notice any fruit? We're going to look at a couple of kinds of fruit. But what we have now, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. The first thing you need to know is you can't do anything by yourself.
Amen.
You need the Holy Spirit of God. And that's when you get saved. Maybe you didn't understand that. Maybe you haven't ever felt it, whatever. You don't have any necessarily proof of it. But when you got saved, God moved into your body, into your spirit. And because God is in your spirit, then you have Him influencing. The Bible even tells us when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, He prays for us to be in the will of God. Now you're praying a wrong prayer and He's inside of you changing that prayer to what it ought to be. That's something else. That's true. Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. And I've said many times, I'm sure glad I didn't get all the things I prayed for. I don't know whether you've lived long enough to realize what if you'd have got that other way, it would have been really bad. Whatever. But I went in the grapevines. I had a big garden for 20 years out in Kendall County. And it was a watered garden. I had my water piped into it and whatever. And it was actually the size of this auditorium. That was my garden. Biggest one I ever had. 60 by 60 with an 8-foot fence to try to keep the deer out. Well, I got grapevines. I like grapes. And so I got grapevines. And I had a couple of rows of grapevines. I just had the worst luck. I think if I'd have been a farmer, my kids would have starved to death. I couldn't keep the grapes from the birds. When they got ripe, the birds came down and they ate the things. So I read up a little bit on it, you know, and they said, we'll put a net over them. So you got this little net with this little small holes in it, you know. And I put it over them, tied it down, whatever. The birds would get under it in there and then get killed. And I'm killing birds. I'm not getting grapes, I'm killing birds. So I gave up on grapes. Just wanted you to understand. I gave up on grapes. Now, the grapes have to come off the branch, and the branch comes off the vine. And you cannot do anything. You cannot bear fruit of yourself. You got to abide in the vine, and in I am the vine, he said, and you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, do you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and does his word abide in you? How much of your Bible do you read? How much have you memorized? How much have you used? Do you go there for advice? Do you go there when you need some help? Do you go there when you want comfort and peace? You know? How do you treat your Bible? Now, when I first got saved, I was 20 years old in the Air Force. I'd had a Bible probably all of my life. Because I had a Christian family, and we were, after we came to town, we were a Sunday morning church goers. We didn't go to many of the night meetings or whatever, or revival meetings or whatever. And my folks were country people, and they felt like they were country people, and so they felt like they didn't fit in the big city of San Antonio. At any rate, I hadn't read the Bible all that much. I had a Bible in my house, and there's two things that I was taught in my house. One of them was, very simply, the Bible's the Word of God. It's without error if you understand it correctly. And the other was that Jesus Christ was the only Savior of the world. You had to have Jesus to be saved. Now, I'm really thankful for those two things being taught me. Because when I was 20 years old, I actually believed that. I believed that. Then I get saved. And I really got a change in my life. I'd been smoking since I was 5. My uncle gave me a half of a cigar when I was 5 years old to leave my daddy in the hospital. He said I smoked it without ever coughing a dime. And I smoked it all the way back home. And then I started getting, my daddy would roll him up some and put them on the mantle. Well, I'd crawl up there and get one of those he had on the mantle and smoke it. I played football 6 years and smoked the whole time. So I smoked and I was a social drinker and I cussed and I did a lot of things that not a good Christian boy shouldn't go. And I didn't do much Bible reading, although I had quite a bit memorized, because in Sunday school, Sunday school teachers would have us memorize the Ten Commandments or the Beatitudes or John 3:16 or the 23rd Psalm or Psalm 100, whatever. So I had some of the verses that were memorized, and but I didn't know the Bible. I really didn't know the Bible. I knew the Bible stories because of my grandmother. She told me like Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. That's the way she told me the story. And she was always telling me stories. I was visiting over here, one of these colonials, where a young man about 16 years old was sitting on his front porch. And I walked up to him. He had never been to church, he told me. He'd never had a Bible. He didn't know anything about David and Bathsheba or David and the giant. He didn't know about the Hebrew children in the furnace and the fire or Daniel in the lion's den. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hadn't even been to a church, any kind of church. He wasn't just Catholic. He wasn't Catholic at all. He wasn't anything. Right here, a mile from this church. Isn't that a shame? That's a shame you don't even know the stories of the Bible. Good night. You got some great heroes in here. You got some guys that really trusted in God and did something. They're great stories. They really are. Well, when I got saved, like I said, I was 20 years old and in Roswell, New Mexico, and I was an airplane refueler. I fueled all kinds of planes, and I enjoyed my job because I liked to see all the different planes that I could fuel. I put a New Testament that the Gideons had given me in my back pocket. And every time I wanted to smoke, I pulled out that New Testament and said, Lord, help me. I'm having a nicotine fit. Help me, Lord. And I'd read a chapter or two out of that New Testament. Before long, that New Testament was about that thick. Grease and oil and all sorts of stuff. In fact, I had a guy rebuke me that I abused the Word of God. He said, I'm not abusing the Word of God. I'm reading the Word of God, and I just happen to have rough hands right now. Learning that Bible, I come across some stories that were, wow, I didn't even know. Because I'd never read the Bible. I'd read portions of the Bible, memorized portions of the Bible, but I never sat down and read the Bible through. Yeah, amen. But I learned a lot of things. And boy, it wasn't any time at all that my life was changing. And I thank the Lord for getting the Word of God into me. Yes. And I don't remember exactly now that first year how many times I read the New Testament. I think it was 19 or 20 times, and the Old Testament 2 or 3. But I began to learn the Bible, and what it said I believed because of my faith of my folks. That Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, if you have to have that Bible in you to be blessed, what are you doing not reading it?
Amen.
I mean, is this really that important? I think it is.
Amen.
I really think it is. Do you want to have your mind changed about some things? I'm so glad I quit smoking. I smoked a couple of packs a day whenever I was smoking. And I'm glad I quit drinking. You know something? My life has been blessed. And most of it came from this little old book right here. Read it over and over and over and over again. I'd read so many chapters out of the old and so many chapters out of the new and the same. And that meant I got through the new four times more times than I got through the old. Because that's about the way they were. How are you going to be blessed by God if you don't know His Word? Why do you think He put it here? He put it here for you to read. And let me tell you, it's got answers. It's got answers. I remember the dear lady that she her husband passed away, and about 6 months later she asked me, said, "Now you're the old man." I said, "Yeah, I'm the old man." She said, "But you're supposed to know all the answers." I said, "Well, I know what some of the Bible tells us." She said, "What's my husband doing up in heaven now?" I said, "I haven't the slightest idea." "What do you mean you don't have an idea? You're the old man. You're supposed to know everything." "Well, the Bible doesn't tell me what he's doing up there. I have no idea what Verlene's doing. I hope she's happy. I'm sure she is. But the Bible doesn't tell us the way they live and move and be. Have a lot of praise and a lot of singing and shouting and hallelujah and praise to God. Got a lot of angels. And then I've got all sorts of Bible stories that tell me how those angels live and whatever. Anyway, talking about fruit, how are you going to get any fruit if you don't even know the Word? If all you get is what you hear from preachers, you don't get very much. I do my best to try to preach the Word of God, and all the preachers that are at this place are that way. We preach the Word of God because we believe it is the Word of God. But no, I took all my family one time when I came back from Guatemala. I was trying to look into some of these churches, and so this congregation, it was not a chair left, and then they put other chairs in the aisles. The guy had a congregation to preach to. He preached on the donkey that carried Mary. He never got around to salvation. I just wanted to get up and scream, "Jesus saves!"
Amen.
But I couldn't do that. I can do it here. Jesus saves!
Amen.
Hey, if you read the Bible, you'll learn something. It's better than your present newspaper. It's better than your newscast in the afternoon or in the morning. You get some truth, you get some things going into you that will bear fruit. Where this Bible is preached, the Holy Spirit of God goes. I trust to that. And you ought to too. You're a little branch. Now, as a branch, you can't bear fruit by yourself. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're connected to God. And by being connected to God, you can bring out fruit and much fruit. Now, we would think that the fruit of a grapevine would be grapes. Well, that'd be right. So maybe the fruit of a vibrant church would be other churches. That could be all right too. But you know, it's a little bit different in here. In Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. You're defeated many times. But look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. What are they? They're clear to be seen. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Did you get caught in there in any one of those? I'll bet you did. Or you're tempted in those areas. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. You ought to mark this. You ought to put something where you can find it. You ought to read it for a while. How about studying it for about a month and see if you might get a little bit of truth? The fruit of the Spirit is that a definition? Sure is. The fruit of the Spirit is. What is it? Love. Number one. You wouldn't have a lot of your problems if you just loved a little more. That's the truth.
Amen.
Fruit of the Spirit is love. How about joy? I tell you what, the Holy Spirit of God brings a great deal of joy.
That's right. Amen.
When I think about some of the things that are written in the Word of God, some of the promises that God gives us, and some that He's fulfilled in my life and in my family's life, I say, wow. Wow. Love, joy. How about peace? Some of you don't sleep that well. Maybe the reason why is you don't have the peace of the Holy Spirit in your heart so where you can lay back and not worry. What do you know? You know that the Spirit of God is loving you and taking care of you. Love, joy, peace. Uh-oh, here we go. Long suffering.
Yeah.
Do you suffer long, ever? Or do you complain the first 5 minutes? I'll bet most of you complain the first 5 minutes. Amen or oh me. Long suffering. You know what long suffering means? Long suffering. Isn't that simple? You didn't even have to go to a dictionary to get the understanding of that. That just, the Bible is written in such plain language. We know it if you just take it at its face value. Believe it. Hang on to it. Read it every day. Read it every night. Learn some of it. Bless your hearts. Hey, in that nice, beautiful Bible, put some marks in it where you can find some things.
Amen.
Long suffering. How about gentleness? When my folks were old, my wife and I were visiting them, and she just, and we were sitting in the living room, and she said, "Lendell, see how kind they are to one another." And they were. That was the kind of life they had. They were kind for one another. You know, kindness is a beautiful fruit of the Spirit of God. We need some kindness. Not just kindness to animals, kindness to people.
Yeah.
Old people, young people, babies, kids. Now, when they got these little babies, you know, and you got that head rolling around and I don't know where it's going to stop. I didn't handle them very much. Now, when they got up where they're crawling around and they're bumping around in diapers and running into the walls, oh, I had a lot of fun then. It's been a lot of fun raising 5 kids and 15 grandkids and a whole bunch of great grandkids. You know something? Long suffering, gentleness. How about just plain goodness? Would you recognize it if you saw it? Is it something you look for in people? How do you judge people? I know you make judgments because you have some people that you pick as friends and you put them close, and then you have some that you don't want to be around and you hope they don't come or show up or whatever. Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
Long suffering is gentleness, goodness, faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You say, "Why don't I believe more?" Because you don't read enough. And you don't believe what you read. Is that true or not? Of course it's true. No amens. Bless your heart. Amen, Brother Lindell.
Amen.
That's good preaching.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Oh me, huh? Look at the fruit of the Spirit. How much of the fruit of the Spirit do you have?
Right.
Judge yourself.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not judging you. I don't know you well enough. Most of you I don't. Some of you I got my doubts about. I'm teasing, you understand. Goodness, how about faith? Woo, what can faith do? Faith can give you peace of mind.
Right. Amen.
Faith can comfort your heart and let you go to sleep at night.
Amen.
Faith in what God has said, that you are forgiven of all your sins. I had a hard time thinking God would forgive me for all of them if I didn't list them.
Yeah.
I didn't pray a simple sinner's prayer, Lord God, forgive me for all my sins. I was listing them out. Lord, forgive me for this. And I remember when I did this and remember when I did that. I pray much simpler now, but at any rate, I got the job done.
Praise the Lord.
Faith. Faith. What do you really believe? Do you really believe the Bible? When it says something, do you believe it or do you doubt it or fidget about it or go see if you can't find a hole somewhere, error somewhere? How about meekness? You know, Moses was said to be a meek man. It's hard for me to believe with all that he did. I would not want Moses' job for anything in the world. I'm glad Moses took his job and did what he did, but I wouldn't want to put up with 2.5 million people and half of them not even Jews. Wow. What he came out of Egypt with and went through the wilderness and then went 40 years walking them back and forth with all their complaining. Ooh, do you complain a lot? Are you complaining at your husband all the time? Are you complaining at your wife all the time? No wonder you're unhappy. No wonder you don't have a smile on your face. No wonder you haven't got any faith. Read the Word of God. Believe one of His promises.
Amen.
Hang on to it and go to bed and sleep at night and get up rested. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that was a few. Meekness. Temperance. That's self-control.
Amen.
That's moderation. Living in moderation. You don't have to have the whole hog. You don't have to get your way all the time.
Yeah. Amen.
Temperance. Temper things down a little bit. Now look at verse 23 and the last of the verse. Against such, and he's listed nine things. Against such, these nine things, there is no law. You ever figured that out? You're not under law because you don't have to do anything. There's no law about that. This is faith. This is something that will give ease to your mind. You can go to sleep. Not worried about what's going to happen to you or what's going to happen under a certain thing. You can trust God. God is now your Father.
Amen.
God is your Father and He is a very faithful Father. What if He lets you go through something that you don't like? Well, didn't your own daddy do that? Well, you gave him honor. You obeyed him. And he did the best he could. God is your Heavenly Father. He doesn't make mistakes. If you're going through it, you may need it. And I know you don't understand that and you don't like that. You know, I don't want any more of this.
Yeah.
Wow. In such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust.
Yeah.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How about that?
Yeah.
Are you a born-again Christian?
Amen.
You have the Spirit of God in you? You now have eternal life.
Amen.
When you go out there and we throw your body in a grave and put 6 foot of dirt on top of it, are all your hopes gone? No.
Amen.
No.
Right.
Bless your heart. You're not even there. You're probably not even watching. Wow. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Now let us not be desirous of vainglory. Provoking one another. I know boys, at least, will provoke.
Yeah.
Wow. I was a provoker and I've been provoked all my life. But some of the girls are that way too. You look so sweet and so pretty, and you look like you're so soft, and you just be everything. Do you provoke people? Do you pick at them? What are you like? I really don't know. Well, how about quitting provoking?
Yeah.
How about envying one another? Oh, there's a lot of envy. There's a lot of envy. Bless your heart. You can't have my new car. You say, I didn't envy that little thing. One of my daughters said, I never thought I'd see you in an SUV. Because I generally do those big stands with V8s. I actually thought I was buying a V6. They sold me a V6. But when I looked into the hood, there was only 3 cylinders. Wow. But I'm not envious. I tell you what, I like my little car.
Amen.
I can get in and out of it. No problems. It's got a lot of pep. It's a little hot rod. I'm probably going to get tickets. I really shouldn't, because the thing has a lot of pep. It really does. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law.
Amen.
That is a beautiful piece of Scripture.
Amen.
That is a rich, rich, rich piece of Scripture. Love, boy, that would solve a lot of problems.
Right.
In every home, in every home.
Amen.
Parents and kids together, husbands against wives, wives against husbands, sister against sister, brother against brother. Love, joy.
Yeah.
Are you miserable all the time? Well, you ought to read this book.
Yeah. Amen.
You'll get some promises. You'll find out God's got a way for you not to be miserable.
Yeah.
And to help you wait until you go where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
Wow. And love, love. How great is love?
Amen.
I was loved in my family when I grew up. I know they did not want another child in 1936 when they were broke. But boy, I landed into a house of love. And there was a lot of joy there too. And peace. I actually never saw a fight between my father and my mother. Not even cross words. Now they might have done it when they were by themselves. I'm not that sure, but I didn't see it and it wasn't in my house. How about long suffering? Wow, gentleness, gentle. Just be gentle.
Yeah.
Goodness, don't let anything wrong spoil all that you've got in life. There's a lot of goodness out there. And faith. I don't know how to explain it well enough. What faith does for you is give you a very peace, a great peace. I know what's going to happen. Do you?
Amen.
I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I read the book. I read it a bunch of times. I know what's going to happen.
Amen.
And I know it's all going to turn out right when it gets to the end.
Yeah.
You need to be, have that confidence.
Amen.
Faith in what God says, faith in what the promises of Jesus in these gospels that I just read back in the 14th chapter. Tremendous, tremendous promises. I'm going to a mansion.
Yeah, amen.
I never even wanted a mansion. I'm going to a place where they pave the streets with gold.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. They got the water of life. I'm going to a place where I'll never die.
Amen.
Amen.
Have you thought about Jesus after he was resurrected? He walked through walls.
Yeah.
Amen. He talked to Mary Magdalene and said, "Touch me, not now. Just, I have not yet ascended to my Father." And then a week later, he said, "Stick your hand in my side."
Yeah.
Now, do you understand what a light year is? One of our years on this earth, it takes how long for the light of our own sun, our own star, to reach us? That's a light year. And that's a long time. One of those astronomers was asked what was the oldest star they'd come across. His answer was 400 billion light years. I don't know whether he knows what he's talking about or not. I imagine he does. He's one of these experts, you know. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's why when I think about they're talking about sending a colony to Mars, you're going to have send a bunch of young kids because they're going to have an awful long time getting to Mars. We don't have, the speed that we have is tremendous. You ever watch that rocket take off? Wow. That's the fastest we know of anything about. And yet, the end of the universe, 400 billion years in the way they think in light years? Wow. I think God's a lot bigger than they thought.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I think he's a lot smarter than what they've ever given him credit for. And when I look at all of the things that God has created, and I know it's God that did it, he even gave me a book to help me out. You know what? He gave this book to help you out. You think about all the people that lived before you and before you had books, and then when you had a book, somebody had to write it all. Before about 1400, they didn't have any movable type printing press. Now then you can walk in any store. You can walk in the HEB and buy a Bible for under $10. And they just got books and books and magazines and all over. Wow, what about all the people that didn't have that? All they had was what they memorized. All they had was what they might have copied out of the one volume of the letter of Paul that's in the church. Wow. I tell you what, I think God has been very good to us.
Amen.
I think we have had more mercy and more opportunity, more blessing, more wealth, more education. Why don't you right now start and get an education in this book?
Amen.
Why don't you pick out 10 of your favorite verses and memorize them? Put them on a 3x5 card. Stick it up in your car. Put it in on the refrigerator. Set it on your table when you're going to go for your breakfast. You can memorize what's your address. Do you know your address? You memorize it. What's your telephone number? You memorize it. You can memorize the Word of God, and it's more valuable than your address.
Amen.
It'll let you sleep in peace at night if you're right with God.
Amen.
Why don't you let your body bear a little of the fruit?
Right.
And maybe if you were in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, maybe you might even produce other fruit. You'd certainly be a lot happier. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I'll finish up on this later. Maybe next week, the Lord willing, if He doesn't come and get me.